Welcome back to Win Radio Was, and now our weekly visit with the Man of Steel. It stars Bud Collier as both Superman and Clark Kent, with Lois Lane played by Joan Alexander. It's a storyline that played out in the fall of 1947, and time now for part six.
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman!
Today, eat Kellogg's Pep, the Super Cereal. Super as in Superman. Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal. Kellogg's Pep, the Super Cereal, presents...
The Adventures of Superman.
Today, Superman, on the trail of a family Bible, finds himself helpless as he faces the one force against which he has no power, the Angel of Death.
No, I'm finished, but it's all right. I had it coming to me.
Oh, Ralph, listen to me. The Bible, even Kent's Bible. To whom did you sell it?
And Mary always said I'd come to a bad end, I guess. I guess this is what she meant.
The Bible, Ralph. Where is it?
It was never any good. Lied and stole and cheated. I wouldn't listen to Aunt Mary. I wanted the easy way, but it didn't work out. I see now doing wrong never works out.
Ralph.
Like tonight, running away from those troopers and then ending up like this. It's the hard way, and you can tell everybody I said so.
Ralph, you shouldn't be talking.
Okay, I'm through. Say goodbye to Aunt Mary for me. Just say goodbye.
And now, the adventures of Superman.
For more than 30 years, the burned and twisted wreckage of the aerial rocket in which Superman came to Earth from the planet Krypton lay forgotten on the farm where he had been reared as Clark Kent. Then American military intelligence learned that someone had perfected a rocket based on the one Superman had used. Immediately, the Man of Steel went into action. Back on the farm, he learned that the new owner had sold the twisted wreckage to a man with a red beard for $25. He learned also that Red Beard had become aware of the existence of the damaged rocket through a notation in the Bible of his late foster father, Eben Kent. Attempting to trace Red Beard through the Bible, Superman discovered it had been stolen and sold by a ne'er-do-well named Ralph Tompkins, who had fled town in a fast car. Giving chase, he caught young Tompkins in midair when the careening car went over a cliff. But it was too late. The boy had been mortally injured and was dying. Now, in the darkness of a deep gully below the edge of the cliff, Superman kneels beside the boy as life slowly ebbs from his broken body.
Say goodbye to Aunt Mary for me. Just say goodbye and tell her I'm sorry for everything.
Yes, I'll tell her. But what about the Bible, Ralph? To whom did you sell it?
Tired. So tired.
Ralph, you've got to tell me. The lives of millions of people may depend on it. Now, this is your chance to do something good, something really good.
I never did anyone any good, never.
And this is your chance. Can you hear me, Ralph?
Yes, I hear you.
All right, listen carefully. That Bible is the only method we have of tracing some people who own an aerial rocket. A rocket capable of being used as a dangerous weapon. Powerful enough to destroy whole cities. You understand?
Yes.
Well, we've got to get to those people, Ralph. We've got to get to them before they can sell their rocket to a foreign power, or else this country and every living thing in it may be wiped out.
Why are you telling me this?
The Bible. Eben Kent's Bible. Remember you took it from your Aunt Mary's trunk?
Yes.
You sold it, didn't you?
Yes.
Where did you sell it? And to whom? Ralph, where did you sell the Bible?
Metropolis.
To whom? To whom, Ralph?
Bookstore. Second hand.
Do you remember the address?
Yes.
What is it?
8th and...
Yes, 8th and where?
Walnut. Goodbye. Going now.
Goodbye, Ralph.
Lifting the now limp and lifeless body of the boy in his arms, Superman carries up to the road where two state troopers are waiting. Then, like a red and blue arrow, he rockets upward and disappears into the night sky.
We'll be back with more from the adventures of Superman right after this break. And now, let's wrap up this episode of The Adventures of Superman on When Radio Was.
An hour later, once again in his guise of Clark Kent, mild-mannered newspaper reporter, he enters a second-hand bookstore on the corner of 8th and Walnut in the city of Metropolis. The neatly lettered sign on the door reads, William Davis, Rare Books, Fine Editions, Bought and Sold. As he enters the store, crowded ceiling high with books, a gray-haired man steps forward to meet him.
Good evening, sir. Can I help you?
Well, I hope so. My name is Clark Kent. I'm a reporter for the Daily Planet. Are you Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, I'm not here in my reportorial capacity tonight, Mr. Davis.
Oh.
I have a little personal matter I think you can help me with. I'm looking for a Bible.
Well, that should be no problem. We have quite a few fine Bibles in stock.
Well, I'm looking for a particular Bible, one you purchased from a young man some months ago.
Well, I buy a great many books, Mr. Kent. Bibles among them. It might be difficult to identify any given one.
Perhaps if I describe it, you may recall the incident.
Well, perhaps.
Well, it was bound in heavy black leather, mm-hmm. calf, I believe, with some silver filigree work on both covers.
Oh.
As I recall, it was printed in England and was quite old.
Oh, I remember the Bible well, Mr. Kent.
You do?
It's an early Stoneleigh printing of the Geneva edition dated 1632.
That's right. Do you have it here, Mr. Davis?
No, sir. I sold it almost immediately.
Oh.
It was a fine edition.
Yes, well, may I ask to whom you sold it?
To a collector, sir.
Do you remember his name?
I'm sorry, but I never reveal the names of my collector clients.
What?
I think you'll find that the practice of all reputable book dealers. You see, many people don't wish it generally known that they have large and valuable book collections in their homes.
Well, it would help me very much if you'd make an exception in this case, Mr. Davis.
I'm sorry, Mr. Davis, but that's impossible. Now, if you wish, I'll try to secure another Stoneleigh Geneva for you. I presume you're a collector?
Well, the Bible we're talking about, the one you bought, Mr. Davis, was stolen.
Stolen?
That's right. The young man you bought it from stole it from his aunt, who was keeping it for me. You see, it originally belonged to my foster father.
Oh, my.
His name, Eben Kent, was on the flyleaf.
Oh, good gracious.
Receiving stolen goods, as you know, is a serious crime.
Well, now, Mr. Kent,
and if
please,
I should prefer charges, you'd be arrested. Now, of course, I'd rather not, but...
Now, look here, Mr. Kent. How do I know that you really own the Bible? You might be trying to blackmail me.
Here are my credentials. Press card, union card, police card. If that doesn't satisfy you, call Inspector Henderson at police headquarters and ask him about me.
I believe you, Mr. Kent.
Good. Then how about the name of the man who bought the Bible?
No, I can't tell you that. Though I'll admit I sold the Bible for $750.
Quite a high price.
You give me a signed receipt, Mr. Kent, and I'll write you a check for the entire amount.
No deal, Mr. Davis. I want the name of the man to whom you sold the Bible.
But I assure you, you can't get more than $750.
I'm not interested in what I can get for it.
Oh, you want the book back, is that?
No,
well, I can understand that. It's a sentimental keepsake. All right, I'll do what I can to get it back for you, but I assure you it won't be easy.
I don't want the book back.
You don't?
I want the name of the man to whom you sold it. I want his name and his address.
Yes, but why? I don't understand.
Well, I... Look, Mr. Davis, I can't explain beyond saying that my reasons are of utmost importance to national defense.
Gracious me.
Now, will you please give me that information, Mr. Davis?
Well, you leave me no choice, Mr. Kent.
What's the man's name?
Haller. Richard Haller.
Richard Haller? H-A-L-L-E-R?
Yes. But I warn you, Mr. Kent, you'll find him a very unpleasant customer. His temper is as bad as you'd expect from a man with red hair.
What? Did you say red hair?
Why, yes.
Does he wear a beard?
How did you know?
Then he does.
A red beard?
Fiery red.
He's the man I want.
Hey?
What's his address?
16 East Lilac Road.
16 East Lilac. Thanks, Mr. Davis. This is the break I've been hoping for.
His eyes gleaming with excitement, Clark Kent hurries from the bookshop with the name and address of the mysterious red-bearded man who removed the wreckage of the Superman rocket from the old Kent farm. But Kent is in for a startling surprise and the shock of his life. We'll find out what it is in just a moment, so keep listening. And now, back to the adventures of Superman. Learning that a man named Richard Haller is the mysterious red-bearded man who, posing as a junk dealer, removed the wreckage of the Superman rocket from the old Kent farm, Clark Kent hurried to 16 East Lilac Road, Haller's address. As we join him now, he is walking up the quiet, exclusive street lined with handsome townhouses. Turning into the walk at number 16, an imposing limestone residence, Kent mounts two shallow stone steps and raises the bronze knocker on the thick oaken door. But before he can strike the knocker, the door opens.
Good evening, Clark.
Well, Lois Lane!
In person.
Well, what are you doing here?
Thunderstruck, Clark Kent stares at Lois Lane, girl reporter for the Daily Planet, who stands framed in the doorway of Richard Haller's house. Haller is the man Kent believes reconstructed the Superman rocket and is now negotiating for its sale to an unfriendly foreign power. And Lois Lane, Kent's close friend and co-worker, stands in his doorway. What does it mean? We'll know the answer tomorrow, fellows and girls, in a thrilling, suspenseful episode. So be sure to tune in, same time, same station, for Chapter 7 of The Secret Rocket on The Adventures of Superman. And remember, for breakfast, it's Kellogg's Pep. For excitement, The Adventures of Superman.
Part 6 of The Secret Rocket, and Adventures of Superman for the fall of 1947. We'll continue that storyline at the same time and day on your local radio station next week. I'm Greg Bell, and earlier we had John Daner as a cast member on Gunsmoke. My question this time about his film work. In 1958, he starred as Sheriff Pat Garrett in the Western The Left-Handed Gun. But what motion picture legendary leading man played Billy the Kid in that film? I'll name him and then wrap up when radio was right after this.
There's no business like show, business like no business I know.
Everything about it is appealing.
SpiritsEntertainment.com presents the very best of the Broadway musicals. 60 showstoppers from the stage and screen featuring songs from South Pacific, The King and I, Annie Get Your Gun, Guys and Dolls, Showboat, Carousel, and many more.
Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
I'm singing in the rain.
This three-CD collection of 60 original recordings from the greatest musicals showcases legendary artists, including Fred Astaire, Judy Garland, Gene Kelly, Doris Day, Bing Crosby, Pat Boone, and Ethel Merman, to name just a few.
Put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up. Put on a happy face.
Order Broadway musicals today at SpiritsEntertainment.com and pay just $19.98 for this three-CD set of 60 songs from your favorite musicals. Plus, get a special bonus of reduced shipping by using promo code BROADWAY77.
Stormy weather.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you.
Go to SpiritsEntertainment.com now to get the very best of Broadway musicals today for only $19.98. Remember promo code BROADWAY77 to get extra savings on shipping.
On the rainbow, why oh why can't I?
That's BROADWAY77 at SpiritsEntertainment.com. This offer is available for a limited time to U.S. residents only and cannot be combined with any other offer.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
On a recent episode of Tech It Out, I caught up with Visa's Rob Cameron, Global Head of Acceptance Solutions, to talk about digital natives like Gen Z and how they're shaping the future of payments.
We talk about Gen Z didn't have to learn technology. They were literally born into it. And as a result, it makes them more open and accepting to new technology innovations we see. They're more trusting. And as this generation, which by the way, is going to represent about 27% of the workforce next year, starts to enter the economy, these fintech companies that create solutions for them are quite rightly racing to create solutions to engage them.
And Visa Acceptance Solutions is at the forefront of trusted digital payments. Build the future of payments with modular solutions, which you can learn more about at visaacceptance.com. That's visaacceptance.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
Welcome back to When Radio Was. Before we took a break, I was talking about the 1958 big screen Western, The Left-Handed Gun. It featured John Daner as Sheriff Pat Garrett, and the title character Billy the Kid played by none other than a young Paul Newman. I'm Greg Bell, and that'll do it this time around, but hey, remember to visit us at the website. It's whenradiowas.com. And until next time, I bid you farewell.
When Radio Was is presented by RadioSpirits.com. This is your announcer, Bart Taylor.